Our reading from the Hebrew Bible today can be found on page 210 in your pew Bibles, and it is Judges 4, verses 1 through 7. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died, so the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sirsa, who lived in Haroseth HaGoyim. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinom, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So then God sent them to a place of oppression? I'm not quite sure what's up with that. The details of the evil are not spelled out in these verses, so we cannot really speak to what the evil they were doing. Although earlier in chapter 3, it is mentioned 80 years prior, the people turned from God by worshiping other tribal gods. The time of prosperity and success for the Israelites was no more. I like to think of this verse as a sort of misunderstanding. After all, what is this God of punishment? Who is this God that seems to regularly throw his chosen people into places of oppression? Whenever I read these verses, I tell myself that this is not the God I know today. The God I know does not punish you for your misdeeds. The God I know would not allow for his people to spend 20 years under tyranny and oppression for doing evil. And so I have to struggle with that. I ask myself, what is this I'm reading here? Is this God punishing Israel, or is this an explanation? A way for a suffering people to try and explain, to understand what has happened to them. The Israelites found themselves in a place of oppression. Their only answer, the only way they could explain this to themselves, was that they had to have done something wrong, something evil. They did not choose to suffer. It is not what they wanted for their lives. But still, they felt as though it had to be something they deserved. It was some kind of punishment. How many times do we look at the bad in our lives and blame ourselves? How many times do you see the unfortunate happening in your life as some form of karma? This is some punishment for some past deed. I don't think this is an uncommon way of viewing the world today. It's easy to fall into the sister trap to that, to think that all of the good and riches we gain in our lives is because somehow we were good, we were better. Somehow, somewhere, I did something right to deserve this. And then what happens next? How do you feel about yourself when you fall into this kind of mental trap? When you see the good in your life and think it is a result of the good you have done, you'll feel a sense of accomplishment. But when something bad has happened to you and you see it as a punishment, how do you feel then? How do you escape when you are at a point when everything has gone so bad in your life that all you can do is think, "I did this to myself"? I am in this situation because I messed up, whether you had control over it or not. I cannot imagine living my day-to-day life feeling as though I caused something horrible to happen that I had no control over. I am the reason I got into that fender bender. Yeah, I was stopped in traffic, and yes, that other car was speeding and texting at the same time. But this must have happened to me because, well, I called out of work that day to go see a Giants game. My favorite candidate in an election didn't win because the country is being punished for a misdeed. I am the reason, I am the reason, I am the reason. We hear this type of mentality a lot from Christian speakers, crediting natural disasters as somehow being God's punishment on the people. I remember recently I heard some joking following the hurricane in Texas that somehow Harvey was a punishment for voting trends, crediting the way the state voted in presidential and in local elections as a reason for such a catastrophe. I cannot think of a natural disaster in recent memory where there was not someone somewhere with a voice blaming the latest flood, hurricane, earthquake, or even shooting on the victims. Blaming innocent people for these disasters is a very bad way to look at the world, in my opinion. You can't say, oh, this suffering, this is what you get. This is what you get for being born into poverty. This is what happens when you dress a certain way. This is what happens when you vote a certain way. This is what happens for being different. This is what you get. But it is such an easy trap for society to fall down. Yes, sometimes our actions have negative consequences, but that is not an intentional punishment from God. That is a series of events leading to another series of events. When it comes to oppression and suffering, no one should feel they are to blame for their circumstances. So how do we respond to that type of thinking, that attitude? How do we get past that? And what do these verses say would be our proper response to oppression and suffering? I challenge that these verses argue we should take a stand against oppression. We should become activists for our own salvation. I will also challenge you that any oppression, suffering, and hate happening to our neighbors in our society is our problem to fight against. Once we have broken down this narrative of punishment, this loop that is so easy to get stuck in, what we ultimately come to is that our God is the God of the oppressed, the God of the broken, the God of the hopeless, and the God of the waiting. This is the saving God of the Israelites, who used Moses to lead them out of slavery in Egypt, who led the Israelites to the Promised Land. As Christians, it is easy for us to fall into the trap of waiting for the kingdom to come, sitting in hope that someday the walls that divide and oppress will fall down all around us. The truth is, there has never been a time when the world has been free of oppression and poverty and suffering. Not even here in the land of the free. And there will probably never be a time when the world is free completely from these evils. How do we need to respond to oppression? How can we move forward? How do we defeat the evil? The text goes on to say, the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. And God, through Deborah, responded. But God did not respond by sending Israelites another Moses, or through some supernatural miracle or sign. God's response was instead to say, go and fight your oppressors. I will give him into your hand. The people were commanded into action. They were called by God to fight against their oppressors. As the text says, for 20 years they suffered under the rule of King Jabin. We are called into action by God, just as the Israelites were to fight their oppression. Though we may not all have experiences of oppression in our daily lives, as long as anyone in our community finds themselves in a place of oppression, We are so commanded into action. Our community involvement, our speaking up for the oppressed, is God moving and acting through us. The actions of God are these movements within our society and within our congregation. As Christians, we form the body of Christ on earth. We wear that breastplate of faith and love. We put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. With this armor, this toolkit, God has equipped us to take action. How, with these tools, can we take communal action? For our neighbors, for sexual assault victims, for immigrants, for the poor? Just as God commanded the Israelites through Deborah to fight against their oppressors, we are called to activism today. This church has chosen to answer that call in many ways. In my experience here so far, I have seen this church and its members in action through volunteering with the Senior Center, a food pantry, helping immigrant voices, attending community meetings, involvement with the San Francisco Interfaith Council, and planning for the future, movements of hope, faith, and love.